The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Intimidated by my use of magniloquence. Pedagogical erudition. Perusing voluminous eclectic tomes, and she says I use big words. You believe that? Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Certainly pleased to have you. The number onto the program, very simple. That's all you have to do. You got to get past Eric Dumont, our first-line call screamer. His screen for calls is about a foot and a half open. It's not really a screen. It's an open door. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. That's what I've done for a professional living for a long time. Here on the radio program, we can give you some ideas and thoughts, maybe some nuggets. I'm not going to do any diagnoses. I can't do that. No therapy, that's for sure. And I'm not going to step on the turf of any counselor or professional you are seeing. No. Any questions you raise, you bring up with them. But hopefully we can give a few ideas, whether it's about kids, spouses, clinical questions, maybe something you don't understand about psychology, psychiatry, diagnosis, intervention, etiology. That's a fancy word for the cause of stuff. Prevalence rates, you know, how much it occurs. Genetic relationships, nature versus nurture, intelligence. What is a genius IQ? How do they measure that? What is IQ anyway? You know, just stuff like that. Could be a good Psych 101 education here. The number, again, 877-573-7825. 7757 equal. We have a loyal listener, very loyal listener. As a matter of fact, I believe she listens to the program more loyally than I do. Named Cindy. Cindy is a speech pathologist, a speech therapist, and she's been doing it professionally for quite some time. She's good at it. And I don't think, as much as I've been fascinated by speech pathology and all of the ways that they teach kids to make sounds and to breathe and to swallow and to do all those things, especially with my son who was born with a cleft lip and palate and had to go through an awful lot of in the beginning anyway, forming the sounds. There's something that I don't believe Cindy, who probably has a master's in speech pathology, and even those speech people with PhDs, I've never seen anything relating to this in their education. I've got a theory about it. I don't know if God designed it this way on purpose, but it seems to me that vowels, A, E, I, O, U, sometimes Y, are very dangerous letters for parents. Vowels are pretty much, you could maybe get away with this with a couple of consonants, maybe M's or S's, but for the most part, vowels are the letters that allow nagging. They're the letters that allow whining. Mom! That's an O. You drag out the O. Dad! Please, please. You don't hear him dragging out the P in please or the S and Z sound in please, do you? They don't go, please. And you can't go, please. You can't do it. It doesn't have the same effect. And I think that vowels maybe were put there for nagging purposes, for repetitive purposes. There was something when I had to take physics my first year of college because I was in an engineering track. I wasn't really very smart about it. I remember when the counselor said, why don't you go into engineering? I said, well, that sounds good. Do those trains really go that fast up close? Will I get to blow the whistle at all the crossings? Shows you my depth of understanding. In engineering, we had to take physics. And I remember the Doppler effect. You stand next to, well, okay, don't get too close. But let's say you're parked at a train crossing, windows are down, and the train's coming at a good clip, let's say 35 miles an hour. And you hear the horn. Boot. Now, when it goes by you, the frequency of that horn drops. So it would sound maybe something like this. And I haven't really done a train horn for a long time, but let's see if I can still do it. That's not very good, is it? Now, why does it do that? It doesn't switch frequency as it goes by you. It's called the Doppler effect. The Doppler effect essentially says because the train is coming at you, it compresses the sound waves, and then as it pulls past you and away from you, the sound waves are stretched out, and it gives the illusion that the frequency of the whistle has dropped. I love doing that. It makes me sound smart. I believe that children have a Doppler effect in their nagging. Dad! Mom! See how it drops? And they don't even have to be walking by you. They can be looking right at you. My daughters were very good at this. My daughters mostly used the Doppler effect when I was walking out of the house with clothes that I picked out by myself without my wife's help. I'd try to sneak by them because I just sensed that maybe that striped tie didn't go with that polka dot shirt. Or maybe those flared pants that were popular in the 70s that I still had didn't go with those shoes with the 3-inch heels or whatever it is that guys wore back then. And the paisley shirt I had on with the lariat. Walking out of the house, I'd hear, Dad! Doppler nag is what it was. Now, I knew I had to stop. Because even though they didn't say anything, I'm a highly trained professional psychologist. I can read vowel language. They were really saying, you're not going to walk out of the house like that. Embarrass yourself. And by extension, embarrass the rest of this family. Do you realize what you look like? All of that in one Doppler. Dad, if God wouldn't have given vowels to the English language, I personally believe that the amount of badgering and nagging that parents have to endure from their children would be cut dramatically. It's very simple. You can't nag without vowels. I'm Dr. Ray. I'm going to take a break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
This month, you can bless Catholic mothers struggling to care for their families in developing countries. They spend hours collecting drinking water from rivers and often unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach provides these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Call Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, a professional graduate, speaking of speech therapy, of the Catholic Radio Broadcast School of Articulation and Stuff. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor is In. Let's go right to it. Stephanie from Houston, Texas, just has some folks that want no part of her. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
What happened? Why don't they talk to you?
Well, I'm currently separated. My husband, we're still legally married, but we're separated. And so, I had an affair with my ex-brother-in-law, and my mother found out about it, so she told my sisters and my dad. So right now, basically, nobody in the family is talking to me. And so I've apologized, and my mom said that she's never going to forgive me for it.
Yikes. So she thinks that you've ruined the whole family.
Yes.
Is it only your mom that's not talking to you? Now, your sister, I assume you say ex-brother-in-law, that was her husband?
No. My husband's brother.
Okay. So, which side of the family's not talking to you? Your side's not talking to you, not your husband's side.
They don't know about it.
Ah, okay. How long ago?
This happened at the sometime in December. And my mom found out about it at the beginning of this year, so she hasn't been speaking to me since the beginning of this year.
You apologized, and I assume you apologized to God through confession, right?
No, I have not been to confession.
Why not?
It's not. It's hard for me to talk about it.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, sir.
Do you go to church and communion?
I don't go to church, but I just recently baptized my son this Saturday, actually.
Got two levels here, Stephanie.
They weren't there for the baptism.
Well, you got two levels. You got two levels here, Stephanie. The one is your family right now has decided that you're not worthy to be talking to. Okay. That's bad enough. But the other level is that you've kind of decided that you don't need to talk to God. That what you did was past, you're not going to do it again, so therefore you don't need to make it right by expressing remorse and, as a Catholic, through confession. So it would seem to me that would be the first big step. That would clear up your conscience so that when you tell your family, I have returned to the church, I have gone to confession, God has forgiven me, I hope that you will at some point. You'd have more of a chance, it would seem to me. Now, if they still refuse, if they say, well, you know, we'll never forgive you, you just were wrong all the way around, then Stephanie, sadly, you are facing the repercussions of doing something wrong. You never can anticipate what's going to happen when you do something morally wrong. You can't know. You can't know the ripple effects. You can't know how people are going to react to it. You can't know how you'll react to it. You can't know what it'll do with your life. You can't know. That's what you're facing right now.
I just think that my mom is being a little bit overdramatic because I'm an adult. So she says that she didn't raise me that way, that she's embarrassed for my actions, that she never expected that from me, that she didn't raise me that way, but I'm an adult and I make my own decisions. I think she's overreacting.
Stephanie, let's say that she is. You can't do anything about that. You can't say, well, she shouldn't overreact. She should understand that I'm an adult and I make my own moral decisions. You can't say that. Why? Because she's not doing that. She's essentially saying, she's taking it personal. She's looking at what you did, and she's saying, where did I fail as a parent? Why did this young adult do this? So she's hurt, and she's devastated. I truly think that the best chance you have of getting your mom to soften toward you, even your sister, is to say, I'm truly remorseful. I have learned a hard, hard lesson, and I'm going to return to God because of it. Now, if you do that, at the very least, you will be at peace with God. Maybe your mother will then say, okay, in time I will forgive because my daughter has returned. Thank you, Stephanie. God bless you. Brenda from Lexington, Massachusetts. Hi, Brenda.
Hello?
How are ya?
Can you hear me? He had trouble when I called in. Is it clear now?
It's better.
Oh, okay, good. All right. Okay, this is a small problem compared to some, but we have a granddaughter who's our first grandchild, our son's daughter. And it's also the first grandchild of my son's wife. The problem I have is that her mother dominates that kid. When I'm around, it's as if she's the grandmother and I'm a stranger. And she's told her, hello, you know, say hello to so-and-so and so, that kind of thing. And it's really annoying. And so I just don't know how to deal with it. I want it to stop. I have trouble holding on to my religion when I'm in that situation. You know, I don't want to cause trouble. I feel like I need to talk to her, but I'm not entirely sure what to say. Not my daughter-in-law. There's no word for it. She's not my sister-in-law, but my daughter-in-law's mother.
Your daughter-in-law will not say anything to her mother. And it sounds like your son won't either say anything to his mother-in-law. Is that the way it is?
Well, I haven't spoken to anybody. Nobody knows that this is annoying me. That's why I'm calling. I don't know who to talk to or what to say to them or whatever.
Do you think that they are even aware of what's going on?
They might not be. I'm just all nice and smiley, and, you know, I sit there.
Well, you're smart. Brenda, you're smart.
Right.
Because chances are, if you bring it up and they're not aware of it, you'll sound like you're the prickly one.
Okay.
I would, if you're going to talk to anybody about it, I would talk about it with your son. I would ask him, you notice anything? Does anything strike you when your wife's mother is there the same time I'm there? Do you notice anything in the way she relates and the way that she acts? If he doesn't notice it, then you got trouble, because he's probably not going to bring it up to his wife. That's her mother. You may just be dealing with someone who has to be top dog grandparent. I have a grandparent book, and that's one of the situations I talk about, where you have the other grandparent pretty much dominating the scene and wants to be the preferred grandparent and does what they can. My experience has been, Brenda, that you'll never stop her. It will only have to happen when your son starts to notice it, or maybe even his wife starts to notice it and then realizes this isn't fair to Brenda. Maybe we'll have Brenda come here by herself so she can have some alone time with this grandchild. In the meantime, I think your best move is to allow this grandmother to look obnoxious and hope that somebody notices it. Because I don't think the grandmother's going to go, you know what I've noticed I've been doing? I think I've been pushing Brenda out of the picture. You know, that's not right of me to do that. And I recognize that now. That's just not fair. I don't expect that's going to happen. Do you?
I do not, because I agree with everything you said. This is why I called, because I do not want to cause any trouble.
And you're smart. And I talk about that.
I'm actually going to chuckle under my breath now after having talked to you when I'm in the situation.
That a girl. And don't worry. Here's one other thing I don't want you to worry about. Don't worry that your little grandchild is going to automatically prefer that grandparent. There's ways that you can find to spend time with that child alone, to do things with that child, to go visit when she's not there, the grandmother's not there. So she'll see who the more pleasant grandmother is. If that other grandmother is overbearing and pushy and possessive, as the kid gets older, they might not like that. And you'll win. And I don't mean it's a contest, but you don't have to worry about being shunted aside. There you go, girl.
There's one more thing in that vein.
Yeah.
People are insisting that I decide what I want the child to call me. And I don't want to tell her what to call me. I want her to decide on her own. So maybe
little kids don't know. Whatever you want. Grandma, Meemaw,
yeah.
Mamo, whatever.
I don't care.
Sure.
I don't care.
How old is the child?
She's about a year and a half now.
Well, come on. She has no idea what to call you. You got to tell her.
No, she doesn't.
She got to tell her.
Okay.
Tell her to call you Dr. Ray. That's probably the best thing. I think that'll give you the most status. You know?
All right, and I'll buy your book, too. That sounds like a good one.
All right, sweetheart, thanks.
The grandparent book.
It's on the website.
All right,
it's on my website bookstore.
Okay.
All right, Brenda. Oh, I really was wondering if I was going to get a chance to plug one of my products in there. Now, see, the break's coming up here in about 10 seconds, so I have to listen to Andrew and Eric talk about, just looking to plug one of your products. They're going to say something. There's no way they're not. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. 877-57-EQUAL. Give a call. Got some lines open.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Nothing illustrates the powerful bond between man and wife intended by God, the creator of marriage, than these words from Matthew's gospel. A true marriage is a sacramental bond and is therefore indissoluble. The Catholic Catechism, however, realistically acknowledges that the presence of evil can severely strain this bond. Marital union has always been threatened by discord, a spirit of domination, jealousy, infidelity, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation. The original communion of Adam and Eve was ruptured by their sin of disobedience. Their relations were distorted by mutual recrimination, says the Catechism, and brought about the pain of childbirth and the toil of work. Without God's help, a man and woman cannot achieve the union of their lives for which God created them in the beginning. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the Church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle, and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
All kinds of people trapped in an aging psychologist's body. An old-fashioned dad trapped in an aging psychologist's body. An Olympic power lifter trapped in an aging psychologist's body. A five-tooled Major League Baseball player trapped in an aging psychologist's body. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn. This is a co-production, as it always has been for quite some time, between the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Productions. There in the Ann Arbor studios is Eric Dumont, first line call screamer, Andrew Krucek, producer man and editor, particularly of the look back calls on Friday. My producer for the TV show, Dick Russ, who is involved very, very integrally with the station in Cleveland, AM 1260, The Rock, up there. Dick has been guiding my TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, for eight seasons now. He is the consummate professional. That show would not happen without him. Okay, let's see what we got. Let's go to, we got a couple of kid questions up here, so let's take them. We're going to span the age range. Nora from Destin, Florida. She has a very young child, two really. And some people think, well, Dr. A, come on, I can't relate to a two-year-old question. But my goal in this program is to broaden the question out, because Nora has a question, I think, that's pretty much relevant to any age child. Hi, Nora.
Hi.
Thanks for the call, dear.
Yeah. So my daughter is two, and about 3 months ago, we had our second child. So we were expecting a little bit of pushback. But the discipline isn't working, and she's not listening. And so so she's super smart, you know, like she can read books by herself and she can play songs on the piano by ear. But she also has some like difficulties like getting dressed and doing some other stuff. So there's a little bit of asynchronous development going on. And as she is like cognitively developing, she's also not listening and not responding to discipline. So we've tried like time out and we've tried taking toys away. Well, she doesn't play with toys, so we don't have anything to take away, and time out doesn't work because she just sits there and plays by herself. She likes time out. And I've even tried spanking, but then it turns like it winds up not working because she comes over and spanks her sister. So like if she, you know, if her little sister is crying and she's
Nora, have you ever had a 2-year-old before?
No.
So this is as old as your daughter has ever been?
Yes.
Now, do you think that using words to get her to cooperate is the way to go?
Not really, but it's the
right.
It's the only thing that kind of works right now.
Nah. What you're describing in this very brief description you've given me is multiple layers of, well, I hate to do this, but I think that so many parents have been misguided by so many notions that now dominate the parenting landscape, one of which you say she doesn't listen. Well, she's not going to listen, Nora. She's a kid.
Right.
And just because you tell her to stop doing something, she's not going to stop. Okay, so that's the first thing. You have to teach her to listen. In other words, when you say what you have to say, you're going to follow through with action. But then you say, another thing, the discipline doesn't work. Well, of course it does. It's just you have to teach this over a long period of time. When you put her in timeout and you say she plays, well, if there's nothing to play with, I don't care that she plays. You say she doesn't care, she likes timeout. No, she doesn't. When was the last time she ever went to the corner by herself and just said, I'm going to go play in the corner?
She does it all the time.
She makes the best of it. That doesn't mean she likes it.
Okay.
Here's what I would suggest. Boy, I hate doing this because I just don't want this to be a push product show. Again, I have a book that really covers all of this. It's called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It is my most popular discipline book. It is 100 of the most common discipline questions I get asked from parents. It deals with timeout. It deals with she doesn't listen. It deals with we just had a baby and now she's acting up, etc., etc. By far, that'll give you 100 times more advice than I could give you now. Let me just leave it this way. One, you have to teach her to listen, and you do that by when you say something, either yes or no, you follow through with action. Two, the action is something that you have to make stick. If she goes to timeout, she has to stay there. That's two. Three, I don't think it has anything whatsoever to do with you having a baby. I think it has much more to do that she's getting older, and she's realizing, hey, I don't have to listen to you. I've got my own ideas about the way things should be. That's what's happening. When you spank her, you say that doesn't work because she goes and spanks her sister. Well, no, no, no. She's not allowed to spank her sister. You have to do something about that. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. Oh, this is funny. Oh, all right. I'll get to that call. So there you go, dear. I'm just getting grief already for pushing two books this program. I'm Dr. Ray. Let's see where we're going to go. Is this a legit call? Or, Eric, is this yours? This is Bryant. All right. One of our producer people in Ann Arbor called in allegedly and said, I don't know what to have for lunch today, Dr. Ray. Can you recommend a book that you've written about this? Preferably one signed by you. See, this is the kind of grief I get off mic from these jamokes. But nevertheless, I soldier on. Karen from Canton, Ohio. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Do I know you, Karen?
Well, I did call in once before, and you asked that same question before.
You weren't healed? See, my neighbor Karen lives next door, and I don't think she listens, but I thought maybe this is Karen from next door. But it isn't.
No.
You call before and you're not healed? You're not healed? You need two calls to be healed?
Well, I really actually really enjoy listening to your show, and I really always agree with what you say and think you have really good perspectives on everything. But yesterday when I was listening, it was a little bit off, and I just felt I had to comment.
You had to call and correct me, not comment. This is a correction call.
No. Right? Well, you were talking about how when kids go off to college, a lot of times it takes them more than 4 years, yeah. and that they change their major, yeah. and that you changed your major, and yeah. I don't really see why that means kids shouldn't go to college if they're not sure what they want to do.
Okay, well, that's a very legitimate question, and you called to correct me, and then I will recorrect you. That's all. Stay right there. Don't go away, Karen, because that's a fair question. And because I went to college, I know how to answer it. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Getting on to the program. I remember when I went to college, I tried to cram 4 years of college into seven.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic.
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
committed. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We recently filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the Attorney General of Michigan and the Director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights, challenging their recently announced policy directive to unlawfully target groups in Michigan designated by the Radical Leftist Southern Poverty Law Center, or SPLC, as hate groups. Our lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Michigan, and it alleges that this policy directive violates our fundamental rights protected by the First and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution by unlawfully targeting the American Freedom Law Center for disparate treatment based on our political views and the political views of those we represent in court. The George Soros-funded and radically partisan Southern Poverty Law Center has for years dishonestly and falsely labeled its political opponents as hate groups in an effort to marginalize them and the work they do. The American Freedom Law Center is one of the groups that SPLC falsely maligns as a hate group operating in Michigan. It is one thing for a radically partisan private organization like SPLC to express its falsehoods about political opponents. However, when the Michigan Attorney General and the Director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights join and officially endorse this partisan attack by lending government resources and thus becoming the government enforcement agency for SPLC's radical agenda, the protections of the United States Constitution are triggered. Our lawsuit seeks to halt this unlawful Orwellian witch hunt. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute.
I can't believe you did that, Eric. Andrew, putting another organ player in my bumper rotation. Same style as, who in the heck is the guy that did Green Onions? Billy, I know Tom Price would know this. Anyway, all right, who is it? Booker T, that's right, Booker T and the MGs. Okay, but that's not him, that's a computer generated. Karen from Canton, Ohio, calling me a second time. The first time she called because she had great hopes that I might give her something useful. But a second time she called, she said, you know, Dr. A, you missed it. You're way off. And I'm going to fix you. I'm going to correct you. You still there, Karen?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, dear. Here's what I said. And I'm going to make sure that, obviously, many people don't listen 2 days in a row. My wife doesn't. So, I was talking about college. And I said, really, that college is not for everyone. At all. And we've pushed college heavily in the last couple generations in our culture that it is designed that wherever possible you go to college. And what's happening is, especially given the lack of people for the trades and for certain types of skills, college for many is not a good option. It's expensive. And many degrees are kind of useless professionally, especially certain types of liberal arts degrees. And I said, you come out of college with loans. And sometimes it Karen says, what's wrong with it taking 6 years, Dr. Ray? Well, the big problem, Karen, is one, financial. You rack up loans. You rack up money so that when you get out, you're sitting on a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 loan thing you're going to pay for the next 15 years at $800 a month or more, and you're trapped. You got a house payment as soon as you get out of college with a degree you can't really use. And so all those things have to be weighed and considered. Now, your rebuttal to that, Karen, go ahead.
Well, I think that getting an education is valuable in itself. And I didn't say I totally disagree with you and you missed it totally. I'm just saying that for someone who is definitely college material to go to college, it often does take more than 4 years, and people often do change their majors, and they end up being successful because they've explored a little bit.
You're absolutely right, and I would never say that college isn't a great option. However, here's another problem. Many of the kids who take more than 4 or 5 years, and colleges are smart too. I've had many, many students say to me, I couldn't graduate early if I wanted to because of the way they schedule the courses. But that aside, if the kid drags it out, oftentimes it's because they weren't really as responsible in approaching school as they could have otherwise been. It's not a matter that they changed their major 3 times like I did. I changed my major 3 times, but I still graduated on time. I couldn't afford to otherwise. So I see what you're saying, and you're absolutely correct. But I think if you really look into it, the mindset of our culture is now moving somewhat away for college being the absolute best option, even for those who are capable of it. That's a good point. You've helped me to clarify that. But call again, please. And I don't think you're my neighbor, because if you were, no. She would yell at me. She would yell at me. She'd say, Raymond, go out and mow your lawn. We're bringing in the harvester. Thank you, Karen. Thank you for the call, dear. Okay, let's see what we got here. I got time. Sherry. Sherry is from Buffalo. I, on the other hand, am from human beings. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Now, you know, it's not a problem, Sherry. Attitude is not a problem if it's a grateful attitude, it's a respectful attitude, it's a motherly attitude that says, oh, thank you. Thank you for being my mother because I love you and I so appreciate you. What's the problem with an attitude like that?
I'm holding back all my laughter right now.
Parents use the word attitude, they mean bad attitude.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been listening to your show. I already know some of the things I've done wrong. Both of my kids have smartphones. One's almost 14, one's almost 15. And we do the whole parental controls, all that other stuff, blah, blah, blah. That is part of the main reason for the attitude. And what I'm struggling with is I can't wrap my head around, we take them to church, they go to religion, we try our best, and the just pure, utter disregard for, like, normal, everyday behavior in the house. Like, they're great students, they're great at school, they're great for everybody but us. That's the bottom line.
Now, I won't get in trouble for saying this, because the book is not out yet. I'm working on my present book, is the very same thing you just are wrestling with, which is
you need to finish it because I need to read it.
Oh, I know, sweetheart, but I write it on a legal pad in pencil. That's how much of a throwback I am. The the book deals with a phenomenon that you're experiencing and countless, countless good parents experience, which is we're doing everything we can to raise moral, responsible, pleasant, cooperative human beings. And what the heck is going on here? These kids can be difficult. They can be ungrateful. They can be disrespectful. They're showing signs of jettisoning the morals that we're trying to teach them. They don't want to go to church. What is happening? Right. Several things. The average parent underestimates the shaping power of the culture around us. It is very, very good at shaping children in its image and not yours, Sherry. So as a result, what tends to happen is you see these things that your kids are doing and saying, and you're forced. You're forced to deal with it. For example, just a small thing. Is it safe to say that your two teens can be very disrespectful?
Yes, one more so than the other.
Okay. Why in the heck, then, do they have a phone if they're disrespectful? It would seem to me that there's no way you can have a phone if you're going to be disrespectful or uncooperative. That's not going to happen. And until I think that you are consistently respectful and cooperative, don't even think about a phone. Now, why wouldn't you do that?
So which is why I called today, because it got so bad yesterday. I took the phone away, and it's gone. And it's in my car with me right now. And I am hitting my head against the wall going, how long? How long do I keep
How long like until... See that? And that's a section in the book I talk about, too, because parents always say that. How long? The question is not how long. The question is, did they deserve it in the first place? You're already seeing that what they're doing in your home is being difficult and unpleasant. And the idea that they're good for everybody else, many parents will say that. But there's reasons for that that we can't get into right now. But and the phone is not the only thing you have to deal with. It sounds like they're just being uncooperative and unpleasant, maybe ungrateful, disrespectful, etc. The mixed bag of just being unpleasant in your home. At this point, and again, I don't know where your husband is on all this, but at this point, you may have to regroup and say, things have really got to be restructured around here because this has slipped out of my parental control. These teens are very unpleasant to live with. This has been taken as the parental norm in the United States, but it should not be the norm. So with the disrespect... go ahead, dear.
I was going to say, well, Dr. Ray, as always, I'm going to give you this one. You hit the nail right on the head. So my husband and I literally just hung up before I called you and had this conversation. Like, we need to reevaluate everything because something's
yes.
got to change. So
absolutely. Reevaluate everything. Reevaluate freedom, chores, respect, what you're going to do about respect. Reevaluate what right. you will allow. You know, in our home, we had 10 kids, and at one point we had like 7 teenagers. We had a complete zero tolerance for disrespect. If in any way you were disrespectful, in tone, in rolling eyes, in looks, in argument, there would be consequences, immediate consequences, whether that was an essay, whether that was you're done for the night, whether that, whatever it was, there were going to be consequences because that was simply intolerable that you would ever talk to your mother that way or your father. But she got the most present because of that, because she was homeschooling mom. But you see, most parents allow so much of that. They just do.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, well, you just answered my question, Dr. Ray. Thank you, as always. I love your show, so I really appreciate it.
All right, sweetheart. And you know what I did? I have a book that deals with all of this, and I didn't even say it, because I'll just get slammed by my producer and my call screamer for even saying it. So... there you go.
Just so you know, I'll plug the one time, and they never came through. I told my parents that all I wanted for Christmas was all your books, but they never did it. So I'll have to tell them now.
I think you could call the authorities on them. I do. I think at this point. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Talk to you, honey.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I get so sad. I truly do. And what Sherry's saying, and I have no doubt she and her husband are wonderful people, good people, loving people, great parents. I don't have any doubt of that. And I get so sad because the current relationship right now between our children and our and parenting is adversarial. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be like this. But in so many respects it is, and it's in the good homes too. Okie dokie. Break time.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm so glad that break is over. Eric and Andrew double teaming me here. Don't recommend your books. There's some kind of thing that if you recommend more than two of your books in any one show, You drop out of the top 10 ranking for humility award. Yeah, I know it. I'm dangerous. I'm ninth now. I got to make a comeback. Mary had to drop, but here was her question. She has an 11-year-old granddaughter hanging around with a female friend who is known as, quote, the mean girl. Granddaughter is starting to act like some of this. How to discourage her? Well, Mary, I don't know if you can unless you're raising her. All right, I suppose you can talk to her about it, but I doubt that that'll have much impact. I think it's something her parents are going to have to deal with. But the problem is, quote unquote, with a mean girl, it's very likely that this girl is being raised very differently, maybe. Well, I shouldn't say likely and maybe in the same sentence. It's very likely that this girl is being raised differently than your granddaughter. So the mean girl probably has a lot of freedom, a lot of attitudes, a lot of perhaps immorality that you don't want or you hope that your granddaughter wouldn't have. The problem is, are you raising her or, obviously, is she with her parents? Perhaps that if you can talk to the parents, you've noticed this. Maybe they haven't. I don't know. So the direction is probably with the parents. As I dealt with our previous caller, what's happening is that an awful lot of kids are resisting being raised well by their parents. And the more kids there are like that, then one of the difficult factors in all of this is that if you're trying to raise your child differently than a lot of other kids are being raised, they're going to run up against those kids. They will be part of that group, and they will be influenced by that group. If you don't let them hang with them, at least at school. The complications. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for everything. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand. And those teenagers, if they don't let you hold them by the hand, insist on it. Insist on it. None of this, don't wave at me in public, Mom. None of that.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.